Hey there, I'm Jean Tiberio, and you're listening to Healing Outside the Box. Now, I am much better from my little bout of bronchitis, but I think I'll give my throat one more week because I'm still sounding like, I don't know, somewhere between Marlene Dietrich and Jack Nicholson. What I'll do is put up a replay of the podcast called In the Beginning, There Was Monsanto. Hey there, I'm Jean Tiberio, and I'm a nutritionist and a wellness coach. Welcome to Healing Outside the Box. Now, Monsanto has been in the news lately, and I've gotten a few requests to give people a short and sweet, or maybe not so sweet, version of why we should be mad at Monsanto. I'm only going to scratch the surface regarding the reasons why Monsanto has become a household name, and if I'm running long, I'll split this into two episodes, and I'll run the second next week. Monsanto, as we all know, is a mega international corporation. Now, although that sounds bad, it's not bad at all by itself. But when a corporation like Monsanto gets, as we say, too big to fail, we usually find plenty of power and greed to go around. There have been two controversial stories that are making the news right now. The first one is that Monsanto's Roundup, the actual weed killer itself, has been labeled by the World Health Organization as a potentially carcinogenic compound. That implies that it should not be a grass substance, which is generally recognized as safe. I bet you were thinking, I meant grass, or weed grass, or dandelion grass. No, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I use the term generally recognized as safe because we are now ingesting this stuff. Now, the World Health Organization, or WHO, printed their findings, and it literally said, Monsanto weed killer is probably carcinogenic. I looked at a few different sources that were writing on this subject, and they were, for the most part, credible. There's one person, Dr. Stephanie Seneff, I think I'm saying that right, who works at MIT as a research scientist. So she's pretty credible, and she is giving glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, a general thumbs down. She basically says that it wrecks human health, which is a pretty strong statement from one of those nerds at MIT. Monsanto's $15.9 billion of annual sales are closely tied to the sales of glyphosate. Most of Monsanto's seeds, and they are their seeds, they have patents on these seeds, are designed to be used with glyphosate. And what this means is that the corn is genetically designed to resist the killing effects of glyphosate. There was another article in the journal Lancet written by some other scientists. And if you're not familiar with the name, this Lancet is a prestigious journal that doesn't print pseudoscience. This Lancet article is linking Roundup to many chronic diseases. And I'm not sure that is shocking news, because the way I see it, Roundup is designed to kill living cells, whether those cells be plant or insect or animal. It just can't be good to ingest this stuff. Seems like common sense to me, but what do I know? Next week, I'll go dumpster diving into the literature to see what I can come up with in terms of these specific chronic diseases and whether there's evidence that they're linked to Roundup in the leaky gut. Now, here's the second important piece of news that perhaps we should pay attention to, and it's this. There has been a huge lobbying effort by Monsanto to stop any effort in the direction of labeling GMO products. And perhaps plenty of greenbacks, as they say, tossed in the direction of members of both houses. Believe it or not, this latest effort involves the TPP trade agreement that is on what's called a fast track right now. Now, I can't really confirm this because the information is based on WikiLeaks. And WikiLeaks may be suffering from some tweaking that happens when you play the game of gossip with more than 10 children. But basically, here it is. I'll just throw it out. Monsanto has paid our Congress a ton of money to attach a law that states as follows. It shall be illegal for any state, by way of voting ballot, to pass a GMO labeling law. Monsanto is definitely fighting to get this law into a secret bill, which is the same secret bill that may pass through Congress without much scrutiny from the American public, and that is the TPP bill. Recently, it was reported that there has been a deal cut in D.C. between corporate lobbyists and the U.S. Senate to move forward on this fast-track trade agreement called the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. They're not giving us a lot of information about it, but let's take a look at who's promoting it and who's against it. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Orrin Hatch and Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, have put together this deal, and one of the most vocal people against it is none other than Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Now, if this bill is allowed to pass, it would also allow more unsafe food from other countries with lower or no food safety standards to get into U.S. grocery stores. So here's what Monsanto did. They paid members of Congress to sneak in this bill that would keep any state from enacting GMO labeling, whether or not the voters voted for it. And this is basically why people are jumping up and down about Monsanto right now. And speaking of Monsanto, let's run through a little history of the company, which might explain how it got so huge. Currently, it's a publicly traded company specializing in agricultural biotechnology and located in St. Louis. As I've mentioned, revenue in 2013 was in the $15 billion range. Monsanto started in the early 1900s, and they initially produced food additives like saccharin and vanilla extract. By the way, the scientific name for vanilla extract is vanillin, and it is in the category of an aldehyde, which is similar to an alcohol. The reason I happen to be a fan of vanilla extract is, well, it's tasty, but also I have a little story about vanilla extract. When I was in school and taking organic chemistry, we had an unknown compound that we had to study, and we had 3 weeks to come up with its name. I was given a dark brown secret bottle of this unknown substance. I opened up the top and gave it a whiff and said immediately to my TA, "This is vanilla extract." To which he said something like, "Well, I can't repeat it on a family podcast." Anyway, they started with saccharin and vanilla extract. Since then, they have produced lots of chemicals and, as we know, have gotten into the seed business. Here are some of the chemicals that we know about. The first is sulfuric acid. And if it sounds like it should be worked on under a protective safety hood, you are correct. If you guessed that it is now somewhere in our food chain, you are also correct. And next we have PCBs. We know about these. Then they made polystyrene. And then they developed hydrogenation. And it was a process to which they could make liquid fats into solid fats. You've probably heard the term trans fats or trans fatty acids. Hydrogenation produces what's called trans fats. Next, we have LED lighting. Now, that sounds pretty good. We can go to Walmart and get a button light to push so we can light up our closet. Hopefully, it will continue to be a good one. Next, we have DDT. Well, we're back to the bad stuff again. Then they produced insecticide PCBs. Bad, bad. And then they produced Agent Orange, which kills foliage. As we know, also produces cancer and kills living cells in general. Last but not least, they made the precursor to bovine growth hormone, which is injected into both dairy and beef cattle. Next, Monsanto was among the first and certainly the largest company to genetically modify a plant cell. Now, I'd like to stop here and tell you that I'm not implying that all GMO products are bad. Genetic modification as a technique is neither a bad thing or a good thing. For example, Dual-colored roses and dahlias are beautiful. But once they started to genetically modify crops or edible plants, the crops should have been tested first. They were, in fact, tested on fields for yields, and they increased yields. But to my knowledge, there hasn't been many studies regarding their safety. After that, in the late 1980s and 90s, Monsanto became basically a biotech company selling primarily seeds. And, of course, they continued to sell Roundup. Monsanto manufactured a genetically modified corn seed and then applied for a patent. Now, Monsanto's argument, and it could be argued that it's a good argument, was that they invested heavily in the research and development and need to get back some of those expenses by allowing them the right to be the only company that sells these seeds. This seemingly rational argument caused the explosion in patents for seeds and other processes related to industrial farming. So the money started pouring in. They called themselves plant breeders. In other words, their stance was that they made a more productive seed and therefore they own it. But this was in direct conflict with the farmers' right to save and reuse the seeds. But the farmers lost. Seeds were patented and Monsanto sued whenever the farmers failed to comply. And as you guessed it, the seed price doubled and tripled. Now Monsanto owns the rights to many different seeds, most notably corn and soy, because corn and soy are tremendous money makers. And this is because they're used as ingredients in so many different things. That started the manufacture of high fructose corn syrup and soybean oil as the primary oil in fast foods. So basically, these seeds are designed to resist the effects of Roundup herbicide. Now, because there is a long involved process to making seeds that are resistant to Roundup, they are making only one type of corn seed, one type of soybean seed, etc. And this is a threat to biodiversity. Now, we need biodiversity because when plants are under attack from, say, a mold or some type of fungus, they could be wiped out if all of the plants are of the same genetic material. The Irish used one type of potato, and the result in the 19th century was the potato famine that wiped out miles of potato crops. Now, in some cases, farmers have tried to get away from Monsanto seeds and buy their own corn or soybean seeds, and they have been met with lawsuits. And generally, the farmers lose and Monsanto wins. We have a problem there. And the problem is worldwide because right now, Monsanto is suing, if you can believe this, India, because India now no longer wants to buy Monsanto's Roundup-resistant rice crop. And there's a larger issue, too, that a lot of people are talking about. The question is this. Can a corporation own life? Now, until now, that is exactly what has been happening. But there is a group of people that are starting to rebel against that concept, and a greater group of people that wants to see Monsanto taken down a notch or two. There's all kinds of petitions out there. There's the MoveOn.org petition, among others, and various environmental protection groups that are forming an army of like-minded people that want to bring biodiversity and organic back into our food chain. So I'll leave you a few links in the show notes, and I'll revisit the connection that Monsanto, and more specifically Roundup, has with the growing number of intestinal and allergy-related diseases. So that's all I have for you today. Be well, and stay tuned next week for another episode of Healing Outside the Box.